You are listening to the Cameron Phillips Podcast, episode 24. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode. I'm so grateful to have you here with me today for another episode. And today is a special treat because we have a guest. In today's episode, I'm interviewing one of my good friends, Alex Warren, who is an accomplished video director and production company owner. You heard that right. From England. Now, we met a few years ago when I was traveling in England, and he's been visited me when I was living in LA, and we made videos together. But in recent years, he has started his own production company and has learned a lot about business along the way. We're about to chat about all things business, mindset, how he runs his company, and the things that he had to overcome in order to get his business on a path to success. Let's dive into the interview. Hi, I'm Cameron Phillips. I'm a travel journalist, media entrepreneur, and digital business coach. Join me for weekly discussions about the power of the mind for growing your business, up-leveling your life, and using content to build a lasting brand. You'll hear stories from business owners and thought leaders as we dive into value-packed topics that you won't want to miss. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a weekly episode. All right, I am here with my special guest, Alex Warren. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking the time to be here. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here, actually, because this is my first podcast.
This is your first podcast ever?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I've never done one before.
Oh my God. Well, we're in for a treat then, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to talk about me, I guess.
Of course. I mean, right before we started recording this, you had said that you don't like talking about yourself and your successes and your accomplishments.
Yeah, not really. I don't know. I get a bit awkward when people ask me, oh, what do you do? Or how did you get there and all that stuff? I don't know why. I just don't really know how to talk about myself. But today I'm going to make a solid effort to talk about me.
Love it. Well, I mean, I think that is honestly so much a part of what I want to cover in a conversation like this, because there's so many people like myself and like other creatives who want to do things in the creative world, but have that kind of fear of talking about themselves and promoting themselves and like actually going down the path of, you know, doing something different with their lives rather than just, you know, do the 9 to 5, the corporate, the like what's expected of you. And I look up to you a lot and admire you because you took the leap and have grown this whole company that looks beautiful and is successful. And thanks. The people want to hear about it.
hopefully they do.
Okay, well, why don't you go ahead and give a little introduction about who you are, your company, and what you do?
Okay, so my name is Alex Warren. I, as you might be able to tell, I'm from England in the United Kingdom, and I run my own production company. So clients come to me, and whether they want photos or videos, basically we work together to create content for brands. They could be corporate, they could be, you know, selling a product, they could be properties, it could be absolutely anything. I basically try and do every role. So I could be a director, an editor, videographer, photographer, producer. I kind of take on every role. I haven't been taught it. It's all self-taught through YouTube and just experimenting with, you know, a camera and, you know, a laptop and what you can do with that, which is quite interesting. I never went to school for this and I never planned to go to school for this. It just kind of came out of nowhere.
So that's interesting. You never planned to go to school for like video or TV or like anything like that.
No. So in the UK, we have this thing called sixth form, which is like, I think it's like senior year, I guess, yeah. For, you know, Americans and Canadians.
Like the end of high school, kind of?
Yeah. So high school goes up to like 16, and then you go to sixth form or college for 2 years. So in sixth form, you kind of specialize in a few subjects. So sixth form, I picked graphic design, psychology, and history. So video was nowhere in that. And I did that for 2 years. And during those 2 years, I set up a YouTube channel where I was just creating content with friends. It started off kind of more vlog content, sit-down content. And then it kind of developed into more film-based and cinematic content, which you also have done. Yeah. And I took a lot of inspiration from you, especially, and among other creators. Yeah. And then from that, I kind of got a few clients, like, off the back of it, nothing major. I was probably like 18-19 and was just getting little jobs here and there. Right.
Okay,
while still
so
at school.
Slow down, this is great, but I want to dive into those first clients and like where they came from and all that. But first of all, I want to kind of point out that I think you and I had a really similar path where we both started on YouTube being like, let's vlog. Like, this is fun. There's like people. And then we both kind of realized, oh, wait, I love the more like artistic, the more visual, the more like directorial, like I can actually build something here that's more than just like vlogs and building an audience, which is great too.
Yeah.
But I definitely felt that like synergy with you because we had that appreciation for the other side of it, for putting in like quality work and delivering it. And I mean, I can't speak for you, but I feel like in my case, I kind of boxed myself in initially to this like, oh, like fun, silly YouTube videos. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wait, I'm going to do more serious things.
Yeah.
And I feel like when we first connected, which was through YouTube and through like, you know, I guess following each other on social media, I think we both totally bonded over that like love for video and for cinema and for bringing that to life.
Oh, definitely. I, like you said, we found the passion within the filming behind everything. And yeah, you know, the vlogs were fun. Sit-down videos and challenges were fun. But I found more love of actually trying to build a story and, you know, create some art really for people to watch and enjoy. Definitely. And kind of escape from reality. Obviously, like the sit-down vlogs can do that and make you laugh and everything. But I felt like I was being more true to myself and creating more artistic and creative content. And I just loved it. It didn't feel like work. It just felt like fun. And it was, you know, making YouTube videos back then was just for fun. There was no money involved and wasn't even, you know, a thought really. It's only really been the last, you know, maybe 3 to 4 years where it's all come out where, you know, you can become a millionaire for being a YouTuber.
Right. Yeah. and that like was the narrative never these days. Yeah.
Yeah. That was never my goal. I was just having fun on the side of doing like intense schoolwork, just trying to escape from that.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I mean, that kind of goes right back to, you mentioned the money piece and I had to stop you there, but where did those first clients come from? Like, how did evolve? Like, how did you go from, I'm making these videos, I'm posting them on YouTube, and then, oh wait, these people want to work with me. Like, how did that whole process start?
So it initially started when my mum's friend, she owns a go-karting company and she needs some videos. And she had seen that I made videos on YouTube and wanted me to come in. So she was my first client for like 2 years. And I started making videos for like 50 quid. Like, it wasn't a lot of money.
Right.
And I do all these equivalent is.
I guess North American audience, a quid is like a dollar, right? Or like, I mean a pound, but it's like your word so for like quid, dollar.
Well, no. So a quid would be like your equivalent of bucks. So like slang. Yeah, sorry. So it was 50 pounds.
Don't apologize. It's all good. I mean, we love it.
but yeah, so that was my kind of, you know, first client really. Okay. And because where I live, so I live on the Isle of Wight in the UK, which is quite a small island off the south coast. And it's quite a small community. There's like 140,000 people here, which is quite a lot, but it's all very tight-knit. And we have a newspaper here and they found my videos because I don't know if this is true, but one of my friends from school emailed them about my videos. I have like an inkling, I remember her doing that. But anyway, they started writing articles about me.
Wow.
And wanted to do interviews. And I literally have like on my wall the first framed article, which is like a full page piece on like me and one of my videos,
amazing.
Which I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it was incredible. And then every time I uploaded, which was every 2 weeks back in the day, there was a new piece. Every video came up with a new article.
Wow.
And most of these articles are actually printed. A lot of them are online, but most of them were also printed in like, you know, real form. And I have a folder somewhere, just article after article, which is awesome. And that's kind of how I got my start. More clients started finding out through the newspaper about, oh, this 18-year-old just making videos for fun. And I would get some emails. My second client was for a holiday home company, which I still work with, like four years down the line, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And they found me through the newspaper. And that was like kind of my second official client. Well, my first official client that wasn't, you know, like a friend.
Right.
But yeah, that was me in high school. So I was still in sixth form, still studying. And because sixth form for me was quite intense, and I didn't really enjoy it, I decided to take a gap year. And in Europe, gap years are quite common. You know, I don't think they are, you know, in North America.
No, there's a pretty big cultural difference there. A lot of people in North America view it as like, or the parents say, like, if you go to the gap year, you'll never end up going to college and you'll fail. And it's a very kind of toxic culture. I've always been really envious of the European mindset of, you know, go take that time, go explore, whether that's traveling, whether that's working, you know, find what you want to do before committing to going to school and spending, you know, the North American prices on a university education that you might not even be interested in.
Yeah, no, exactly. And pricing, we think pricing in the UK for universities is huge. Yeah. And when you compare them to North America, yeah. It's just insane.
It's like insane.
Absolute madness.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's really, really ridiculous. It's out of control. So at this point, were you, now that you're getting these clients rolling into you, are you starting to think, okay, wait, I could actually make a business about around this, like truly, or are you not there yet? Are you still just like, oh, I'll make videos for them, I'll, you know, help them out with whatever?
Yeah, so I was still in school, so I didn't I wasn't really thinking the business sense, because throughout school, like probably in North America, we were always bombarded with the fact, if you don't go to university, you'll basically fail.
Yeah.
And this idea, this mentality was so ingrained in us that like it scared me and it panicked me. Like these, for sixth form, you do A levels, and these A levels basically allow you to get into university if you get good grades. And it was just so much stress to study and get it all done. And once I graduated and I did all the exams, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't just go straight to university. I need to have a break because this is just way too much. So yeah, I took a gap year, intending to go to university the following year to do graphic design. Mm-hmm. And then just things started picking up. So I went back to school to do photography part-time because my art teacher was like amazing. She was like, yeah, just come in, we'll get your degree and we'll just do it part-time and just come in whenever you want. I was like, sweet, that sounds amazing. Great.
Yeah, that sounds like ideal.
Yeah, so I started doing that. I didn't really have a plan to travel in my gap year. It was mainly just to relax and maybe travel a bit, but it wasn't the goal. Mm-hmm. And then I got an email from a client who found me through my YouTube, and he run like a digital marketing company. And he was like, oh, I need 5 videos in 5 different locations in like 3 weeks time in the UK. Mm-hmm. Can you do it? And I was like, oh my God, what is this? He's emailing me wanting me to do like a big, big shoot. And I was like, this is mad. I've never done this before. And then I asked my dad, I'm like, what do I do? Because he runs his own business. Mm-hmm. I was like, what do I do? And he said, just say you're going to charge him £500 a day. Just say that. And I was like, what? That's madness. That's so much money. And he was like, no, just do it. So I did. And he said, okay, £500 a day. And I was like, what? And wow. I was like 18, yeah. 19. I think it was 19. And I was like, oh my God, this is mad. Yeah. £500 a day just to film. I'm like, this is crazy. And that was the moment I thought, maybe this is something. Maybe this is something proper. Right. So that's when I set up the company. In the UK, you sign up with Companies House, which was the government. Okay. You basically register yourself as a company, which I did under Alex's Lens Limited after the YouTube channel.
So how difficult was that process? Like the
you just
aspect.
Go online.
Oh, it was pretty simple.
And then you pay like £30 and then that's it. You're registered as a company.
Oh, wow. We love that.
It's really easy.
Yeah, I know in Canada, there's a little more to do. I know you have to get a lawyer involved, and I think it's a couple grand to like,
oh wow.
Which, yeah, I mean, I'm not like fully versed in that, as I only really came to Canada last year. I'm trying to figure that out for myself now, but that's amazing that it was such a simple process.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's no restriction on it, because it's £30 is nothing. It's like, you know, maybe it's $45. If that, I don't know. I don't know the conversion.
Yeah, it's around that. Yeah. Pretty low barrier to entry.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could go on right now and create a company called Alex and Cameron Video. £30, done. You're an official company in the UK. Like, wow. How mad is that?
I love it.
I thought was so cool. I just think, like, I was able to create a company so easily and I had no experience, like, no idea what to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, that client kind of just made me think, oh wow, this could be a thing. I'll do this for my gap year. I'll create videos, I'll get clients, and then I'll go to university.
Okay.
It's been 4 years and I haven't gone to university.
and do you plan to?
No. I refuse to go back into education. I will never go back into education. I just didn't like it. Didn't suit my, I'm not
for sure.
I'm a creative person and I'm not I'm not really that good with exams. Mm-hmm. With the graphic design course, it was all coursework. So you did all work, like all your work you did in class contributed. Mm-hmm. It's similar in like the American school system, how that works. I think so too. But normally in the UK, it's all about exams. And my psychology and history degree, they were exams.
Yeah.
They were tough.
I bet.
But yeah, it's, I much more prefer doing like coursework and doing like a lot of work in, you know, over a long period of time. And that's why I wasn't very good in school. I mean, I came out with decent grades,
but it
just wasn't the right fit for me. And hence why I won't go to university.
That's super fair. I mean, I think that so many people have, you know, talents in different areas, and for like a lot of people, taking tests just does not work. And then it's terrible because people, you're like conditioned to feel bad about yourself, like with society, at least, you know, the high school I went to, the environment, it was so toxic for, you know, there's certain things where it's just like taking a test on this is not an accurate representation of like who I am as a person, how I can study, how I can learn. And you're just made to feel like that's your entire worth in life. And I think that at least in the experience I had in North America, in the US, going to high school and college, there was not any kind of emphasis for doing your own thing. You were like on the path, you had to fit into the boxes of how, you know, society and like the education system deemed you to be intelligent or not. And that's why I love having conversations like this, because it exposes people to, I guess, an alternative line of thinking, or just more encouragement that you can get out there and do other things. And especially when you can, like in your case, have it, you know, working for you, and then be like, wow, I can just, you know, really lean into this and go full steam ahead, which is like led you more to how you are today and like where you are with your company in this moment.
Yeah. And I do truly believe that people work in different ways, and a lot of time tests that just don't work.
Yeah.
And they're not, they, as you said, they're not an accurate representation of that person's intelligence or their abilities.
For sure.
And it's, I think it's something that needs to change in general with education. I think it's not right. Because for me, I felt like I could have done a lot better in terms of, you know, final grades if I had that more relaxed and open, you know, I guess, you know, perspective on how different people learn. I know so many people that just kill exams. They're amazing. They revise and they just smash it. And no matter how much I revise and study, I'm not that good as other people. And I'm not afraid to admit that, because I just know I'm a different person to them. And, you know, I work in different ways, and so does many people. And the stigma of, you know, of it should, it shouldn't exist, you know, like 100%. Not going to university, the stigma about, you know, not going, like you're going to fail in life, is just so inaccurate and just so wrong. And it annoys me. It does. It really annoys me.
And your proof of the alternative, that you can apply different skills in different areas and, you know, manage this business by yourself, which leads us into, I guess, kind of the next phase of this evolution, is like, you know, you have your business, you've made it official, you're getting more clients. How has that changed from the very beginning to like where we are or where you are today in, you know, what's it like managing this company now? What's it like what's an average month like for you? Like kind of what's a rundown of how you operate these days?
It's difficult, obviously, you know, COVID has just happened. So everything has been kind of flipped. Mm-hmm. But if we go back to like normality, so let's say like last year, things are pretty, I don't know, no 2 days are the same, really. Like even this week, I had a meeting on Monday with a client thinking, okay, there'll be some work that comes in. And well, it's Friday now. And all day, every day I've been working. I literally had so much stuff to do. And these weeks aren't like that. Next week I have some editing to do, but that's about it. There's not much on next week.
Right.
The weekend, like the week after, there's like a week of shooting. It just completely changes. And I'm very much of a routine person. I love a routine. And like, I wake up at 6 every morning and then I exercise. Then I have my coffee. Then I get ready. Then I'm at my desk by 8 or 9 and working. And I'm a sucker for routine. And this line of work, there is no routine. Things just come and go. And I have to always continuously break myself out of the routine to make things work.
Right.
Otherwise, nothing will get done. And clients will be unhappy. And that's what I've had to learn over the last few years, is that you can't always be so rigid in the way that you live your life. You have to allow it to flow and change as things come in.
Right.
And managing a company, especially on your own, is quite tough. The pressure of, you know, where's my income going to come in is always on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult because all my friends, they all work for different companies. So they have a paycheck every month.
Mm-hmm.
And one month I might not have a paycheck, but the month after I might have, you know, double their normal paycheck. You know, it fluctuates so crazily that you can't plan ahead, which is annoying, but also it's good at the same time, if that makes sense.
It's like, it's tough. You know, it's a lot of times that stability is like almost like golden, like hook that's like luring you in. It's always like, oh, it'd be so nice to just have that. But then when it comes back to the other side of, I can like build this life for myself and then have the potential to much exceed that standard paycheck. You know, I'm not fixed into that rate. You know, things can happen. And when I apply myself, it can all of a sudden be double what, you know, I would be making if I was in some, you know, standard corporate job situation. And, you know, that's like that's the hook. That's the appeal of working for yourself and growing your own business, because it really becomes unlimited in what you can ultimately do.
It is scary. Like I've had a few months before COVID, a few months where there just wasn't a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing. That's not because of me. That's just because, you know, my regular clients haven't needed work.
Right.
And landing regular clients is hard.
Yeah.
And I've got maybe three regular clients now, and that's taken me 4 years to get three. Mm-hmm. Like I haven't had, normally a client comes in, I do a job and then they go away and I don't hear from them ever again.
Right.
Which is not an issue, you know, it's a nice paycheck. Mm-hmm. However, I want them to be like, okay, here's more work, just handing out all this work. But it's just not the case all the time,
right?
Which is frustrating. And that's, you know, that's where the stress comes in. But it's all about balance and finding, you know, finding the time to put in the effort to find new clients. I think that's the biggest thing. Trying to land new clients is hard because you don't know what to say to them. If you send an email, oh, hi, I make videos and take photos, do you need it? It's going to go straight in the trash.
Yeah.
Because it comes across like maybe it could be spam or anything like that. They don't read into it. It's all about building relationships with these clients.
Absolutely.
That is hard to get.
Yeah.
And going back to kind of the whole newspaper thing, at the very beginning, the lady that did all the articles there now works at a global corporate company.
Mm-hmm.
I won't name them, but they're like huge. And because she knew me from the paper, when she came in, I had to redesign all their socials and all their websites and everything. She brought me in to be the video guy. And now it's been 3 years.
That's amazing. Yeah.
They're my best client. They pay the most money because they're corporate. Mm-hmm. And I just have such a good relationship with everyone at the company.
Definitely.
I work with many different departments. And it's just amazing. I can just chat to her. I'll talk to her on Instagram. Like it's so casual. And the barriers have been broken that, you know, when she got a new puppy, she wanted to meet a new dog. So I went out and met her and brought my dog.
Oh.
And we had that relationship, like,
yeah,
which is amazing. You don't get that with a lot of clients.
No.
And the biggest thing I find with emails is that a lot of clients are too rigid. In terms of like goodbye. So whenever I write an email we'll start with, oh yeah, kind regards, Alex.
Right.
As the relationship grows, I'll go, oh, thanks, cheers, nice one. You know, you make things more casual. Whereas a lot of the time it just doesn't happen. You can be best friends with this client, yet they're just the strictest person over email.
Mm-hmm.
And that frustrates me within the corporate world. Because with my content anyway, my whole selling point is when I come to corporate clients is that I'm trying to create sexy corporate video. Because corporate videos are normally boring and, you know, shot really poorly. And that's what I try to bring to the table. And I try and bring a friendly face and, you know, a cool music and cool shots and all this stuff.
Right.
And a lot of the time they're just scared. A lot of these companies are scared to, you know, break the mold and, you know, change their whole look. And it's frustrating because, you know, me and you, I think we have good taste in, you know, how things look and how to make things look nice.
Definitely.
And these people, they don't want to know that. They don't want to get the youth's perspective on it.
Right.
You know, these 50-year-olds just want to keep, you know, the same look, the same style. And it's frustrating. It's just frustrating.
Absolutely. Like going back to, you know, that in the context of you finding new clients, do you, is there a part of you that almost wants to like convince them to like break the mold and to like trust you because you know that ultimately they'll be happy? Or when someone gives you a lot of like pushback like that, are you kind of like, okay, this is not my ideal client anyways. Like I'm going to go find someone who actually like knows the value of what I'm delivering and is going to accept that.
It's difficult because a lot of the time, especially now, back in the day when I was younger, I'd be like, okay, fine. You win, that kind of thing. But now I fight back. Now I'm like, no, I put across my perspective and my brief and my ideas. And if they think, oh, that's a bit too out there, I'm like, well, why are you worried? You know, I'm not, my ideas aren't crazy. They're not like, you know, publicity stunts. It's literally just making your video more attractive to watch. It's nothing major. And it is difficult. It is difficult to try and make them break that mold because they just don't want to. Mm-hmm. And as much as I try not to back off, in the end, it's often like, okay, fine, find someone else. Right. You know,
because well, that's great for your brand and like you building like what your company values are.
Yeah. And that's only a recent thing. Mm-hmm. Because when you first start, you want to kind of take everything as it comes. Like, oh, of course, that client wants just this tiny video, I'll take it. You just right. take everything. And I still try to do that, but only if I'm able to have somewhat control. Mm-hmm. Because I've had too many clients where they just want to direct the entire shoot. And the video turns out, or the photos turn out terrible. And then they turn around to me and go, why does it look so bad? And I'm like, it's your brief. You directed it. That's why it looks bad. You didn't give me the control. And it's about building that trust. And that's the hardest part about being in this industry is mm-hmm. that a client needs to trust you. And a lot of the time, they just don't. Mm-hmm.
And when you get micromanaged by them, they don't like what they end up with, which is probably the most frustrating part of what you have to deal with.
Yeah, it's like, I've done everything you've asked, and now you're saying I haven't done enough. It's like, what do you want me to do? Like, literally, what do you want me to do? And then they go, oh, can you come reshoot? I'm like, yeah, that's another full day rate. They're like, what? Right. I'm not paying that. I'm like, well, you'd have to, because you're booking out another day of my week time. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's frustrating. It's like costs and reshooting. They don't understand, or even editing. They don't understand there's a cost. They think it's just all included.
Definitely. No, I think it's great that you have gotten to the point of like evolution in your own business and your own like self as a creative that you can put your foot down for that and say, you know, no, this is who I am. This is the content that I am making. And this is what my company does. And also putting your foot down for, well, if you want to reshoot, I'm going to charge you because this is my time. This is my value. And I think that's somewhere that I've also seen growth in myself too over the past couple of years, where it was the situation where I didn't always understand that like value or understand that like need to stand up for myself and like what I think that I am worth when it comes to making content or doing work for different companies. So I think that's like a beautiful point of evolution that will only continue to evolve.
Oh, of course, because it's all about learning and every little thing that happens, you learn from, especially in life and in business. Because I never used to be like this. I used to be kind of a wet wipe and just be like, okay, fine, I'll do what you want, all this stuff. Because I was young and kind of naive and I didn't really understand. And I thought, oh, the client is always right. And they're not.
Most
of the time, they're not right.
No.
And it's just taken a few really terrible shoots and experiences with clients for me to learn to realize that they're coming to me for a service. They should trust me with that service. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm going to tell them what they should do and my point of view. And if they don't take that, then that's their loss.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all about it. You have to put your foot down sometimes, but it takes time to get there. You know, if you're a new person, like starting off your business, I don't expect you to fight back with clients because you don't have that confidence yet.
Right.
But it does come after every shoot. You grow and you learn more. And it's all about learning and growing. And you'll get there. It just takes time, you know.
Definitely. Absolutely. And on that same vein, like how, you know, where do you see yourself in the next couple of years? Like, where do you want to grow Alex's Lens Productions Limited? Like, you know, what is your future vision for this?
Well, funny you should ask actually, because Alex's Lens Productions, no one really knows this yet, but I'm going to reveal it.
Oh my God, big announcement.
It's kind of not phasing out, but it is kind of phasing out. So I've got two friends. One is a amazing graphic designer, and the other is like an amazing marketer and strategist.
Okay.
And we're all joining forces to create a creative agency.
Amazing.
So I do the video and the photos, and that they do graphic design and like strategy.
Yeah.
And basically we want to be a creative agency that picks our clients. So we pick and choose who we want. We only work with, you know, ethical and kind companies, and just work for clients that we generally get on with. I have taken too many clients, and some clients have been like, you know, evil corporations, just for the money. And and money is great, but it's all about, you know, how you feel at the end of the day. And sometimes, you know, you don't feel that great. And with this company, together, the three of us, we're planning on creating brands and working with brands that, you know, are ethical and are kind to the earth and have that positive mindset, you know. And that's the future.
That's
for
amazing. Wow, that is so great. I'm so happy to hear that. That sounds like such a great like path for everything moving forward, and such a beautiful evolution, like going beyond just what you have to offer, but bringing in what these other people have to offer to create this powerhouse. Sounds like just such a great plan.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I've worked alone for the last 4 years, which has been fun. But it gets lonely. Like I've had a few people on, like I've had a few editors to have helped me as freelance. And I had a drone guy that we worked together for the first 2 years.
Okay.
But basically I have been alone, which has been fun. But it has been lonely. And it's like,
I feel like
days like today, because I was out to work this morning, it's a beautiful day outside. And normally I could go out and like, you know, see my mates and have a good time. But I couldn't because I've got so much work to do and I'm going to stay in and work. And especially within like summer gets quite busy for my work and I don't see anyone. I might have a Zoom call or I might meet some people on shoots, like clients, but I don't have a social life. And there's no water cooler for me to talk to colleagues to, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Obviously I can pick up the phone and FaceTime, but it's not the same, you know? So I'm excited to work with two amazing people who are super talented and have the same mindset as me. You know, they are genuinely just really nice people and want to make a difference. So it's cool. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting.
That's amazing. I also totally sympathize with the isolation feeling sometimes. And especially, you know, we both live in climates that have like dark gray winters. And I think like after this past winter here, it was just like, being inside alone for all of it and then going into the quarantine situation was just like, now it's so hard for me to even be inside because I see the sunshine outside and I'm like, I have to go. But now I'm at that same battle where it's like, oh my God, I need to get this done. I need to be working. I need to honor my calendar. But it's so hard after, you know, being semi-isolated for so long and now that it's finally nice outside. But those are the things that I aspire to in the future as well, being having a team to be able to work with, to have that collaboration, but also that social environment around building something we're passionate about, like a business like that.
Yeah. And what's amazing really is that I met these people through another client of mine. And that client ended up being not the greatest client.
Okay.
And we all bonded on all walking out together as a trio.
Nice.
And we all left in one go.
And that was it.
Like, you know, and that was it. We're like, we're leaving.
Yeah.
Or literally, because it was basically us three as the main team. And we're like, we're leaving. We're done with this place. And we left. Yeah. And then we went back to her parents' house that evening. And we just chatted for ages and got on. Because I didn't know these people. We were just colleagues. And I didn't really know them fully. And we just sat and bonded and understood each other. And then from that, we thought, maybe we should do something. Maybe we should actually, you know, build something. Because we have all the skills.
Right.
Like, we are three pillars in, like, the creative industry.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just bring it together and create an agency that does good and, you know, and it's just fun, I guess. Like the main thing that we want to do is kind of break down the stigma of being so rigid and corporate and sometimes rude, you know, to clients and freelancers. We want to make sure that we're seen as, you know, a kind company that is nice to freelancers and fair pay and all the art stuff. Because as a freelancer myself, there's been so many occasions where clients just try and rip you off just for like false promises. It's just like, no,
And it's so frustrating. And I mean, ultimately, like, your ethics is what makes up the backbone of your company. And like, a reputation like that will like get you very far in the industry, especially when you're playing the long game, because that's the stuff that gets people talking and will get you those referrals from people. Because people will say, these people not only do great work, but they stand on a great foundation of ethics and in who they work with and what they stand for as a company. And that is, you know, that's ultimately, you know, what is the purpose of life? It's to do things like that. It's not just about making money. You have to build something you're passionate about that is doing good as well.
Yeah, of course, definitely. So, and I do hope we do that. So
yeah,
it basically came about for, like, through lockdown as well, as in that we had a Skype and we thought, let's actually do this. So we started planning stuff. We just sorting out our logo, and then we're registered as the company.
Nice.
And then we'll begin. We'll begin, which is exciting.
Can you announce any timelines of when you think that you're going to be up and running? Like, are you aiming for like by the end of the year, sooner than that? Like,
my goal is by the end of the year. For
yeah.
Sure.
Nice.
I want to, my production company is going well, and for some reason now is going mad busy. I don't know why, but it is post COVID.
Right. Yeah.
But no, I'm excited to get this off, get the ball rolling basically, and nice. Start this. Yeah.
Amazing. Oh my God. Well, this has been such a great interview. I feel like we've touched on so many things about just the young creative entrepreneur and taking it beyond just ourselves. And I've really enjoyed hearing an update on everything that you've done and where you've grown to and what the future holds. Well, Alex, I really appreciate you coming on here. Where can everyone find you online? I mean, I'll be sure to include all the links, but let them know.
It's basically just at Alex's Lens everywhere. I was lucky. I managed to get that handle on every social media ever. Mm. So if you want to find me on Pinterest or Tumblr, if you still use
Tumblr.
Any of those, it's still just at Alex's Lens everywhere. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Everyone be sure to go and check out Alex's work. He does amazing stuff, and follow him on social media. Thanks, Alex.
Awesome. Good to talk to you.
I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Alex. I certainly did, and definitely learned a lot about what he's up to and the world of business. Now, why I really loved having him on here was for the demonstration of how possible it is to do anything. Your life and what you achieve and what you set out for and what you bring into your reality is just a reflection of your mind. And in Alex's case, he decided, I can do this. I can charge money, I can get clients, I can build my own business. That is the power of when you set your mind to something and when you believe in yourself and take action and bring it into your world. And I'm so glad that he could share his story here on the Cameron Phillips Podcast. So if you love today's episode, I would love if you could share it with a friend, leave a review on iTunes, subscribe to be notified when new episodes are uploaded, and check out my website, CameronPhillips.net, where you can find all kinds of resources to help take your business to the next level. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.